final case of the day is on-site screening against the United States. Mr. Paris.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Counsel. Tom Paris on behalf of the appellants, Ronald Lelos, and on-site screening. In a different world, we wouldn't be here because the FDA and Ronald Lelos, it seems to me, have a joint interest of providing to the world a safe, effective way and painless way of discovering whether one is HIV positive. The case before us, though, brings us back to law school and talking about whether the sovereign can do wrong and under what circumstances. In that regard, I would like to provide not something that is binding, but some guidance from President Obama's first day when he addressed the Freedom of Information Act in a memorandum to all of the offices. He said a democracy requires accountability, and accountability requires transparency. At the heart of that commitment is the idea that accountability is in the interest of the government and a citizenry alike. In the face of doubt, openness prevails. The government should not keep...
What does that have to do with the meaning of the Federal Tort Claims Act?
Because what really is at issue here is what...
The meaning of a statute here, not with general principles of democracy.
Well, I think what happened here is at issue, and what the plaintiff at this point has been able to discover and has tried to prove. What happened here was wrong, and what is that wrong? The government says it was a detention, and the detention is exempted from the FTCA, and the plaintiff cannot sue because it was a detention. I suggest to you, if you look closely, either at what the government calls, the FDA says a detention is, those facts never happened here. But if you want to look very specifically at what happened here and what the FDA said was happening here while it was happening, you would look at paragraph 13 of my proposed amended complaint, where the FDA, at a rather high level, says this was a seizure by the state at a facility in Bedford Park of the HIV test kit and unlabeled plastic bottle. We talked about the fact that there is no FDA case since we never conducted an inspection. Nick accompanied the state and local authorities to identify some of the materials. No notice of inspection was issued, as this was not an FDA action. Nick only went to help identify the materials. Those are the words of the FDA while it was going on. Or one might look instead to paragraph 17 of my complaint, the letter which my client was sent. It says there was an investigation. That's the word that they use, investigation, not detention. That's not a word that the FDA ever used before this lawsuit. Or one might look at paragraph 22 of my proposed complaint, which I think is the most apt characterization, and that is when Michael Cleary of the FDA called what was going on, quote, turning into a cluster. What happened was not a detention by anything that the FDA calls detention. And so the suggestion is by the FDA at this point that we should use the common meaning of what detention is. My response to that is, if I took 12 people and asked them whether they would look at a corporation's or a government's definition of their actions, whether by protocol, whether by...
I'm completely lost. We have a legal question about the meaning of terms in the statute. And you're not addressing anything about the statute.
Well, I believe the statute that the government relies upon to escape liability here is that if there is a detention...
Your reference to 12 people, by the way, just leaves me completely cold. In FTCA cases, there are only bench trials.
I understand.
The district judge, who would be the trier of fact in a bench trial, has already told you what he thinks.
But anyway, we
just got language in a statute.
So we have the word detention, and what does that word mean? And I suggest to you that the best place to look is what the defendant has defined detention as.
No, look, the meaning of words in a statute is fixed on the day the statute is enacted. It doesn't have anything to do with what U.S. attorneys say. It doesn't have anything to do with the pleadings in a case. That word means what it means. Now, we can have some discussion about what that is, but it won't be advanced by saying that pleadings in a particular case said something.
My suggestion is there's nothing unjust about having the FDA's definition of detention control in this matter, since it is the FDA who raises detention as a defense to this matter. And I don't see any injustice in asking them to use the term, which they have quite clearly defined in this matter. And I don't think there's a good reason that we should use some other understanding of that word when there are many understandings of that word. The plaintiff, the FDA at some level ridicules my inability to state exactly what happened here and my grasping at what its detention is. But that is not the fault of the plaintiff. The plaintiff was sent a letter that says, our investigation has concluded. Come and pick up your stuff, only to later learn that his stuff was destroyed. So as concerns any inability on behalf of the plaintiff to define what did happen here, that's the handicap was created by the FDA. And so the simple remedy that I'm looking for at this point is one to allow plaintiff to proceed on the first amended complaint, which he tried to file. The complaint which we had was just based on a letter with no information. Second, to declare that for this case, the word detention means what the FDA says it means. And third, if this court finds there is no cause of action available to the plaintiff for this wrong, that it not foreclose any cause of action which may be available under the Court of Claims, a relief which I requested below but was never decided. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
May it please the court, counsel. The fundamental mistake that the plaintiff makes in its brief and in its argument is that this case was here on a motion for summary judgment, the put up or shut up moment in the case. On page 10 of Onsite's brief, not recognizing that, they say plaintiff does not know that Jocelyn Ellis or whoever else was involved with the seizure and investigation were law enforcement officers, or what they were doing was detaining his property. And for all he knows, it was indeed for the purpose of forfeiture. Well, the way this came to this court was on a decision granting summary judgment. And before that, of course, we had Local Rule 56.1 statements. The simple fact, which plaintiff does not argue with, is that every single one of the government's statements of fact in its Rule 56.1 statement were admitted, either expressly by the plaintiff or because the plaintiff failed to controvert any of those statements with record evidence. And that's a decision that the plaintiff has now brought to the court to appeal. So the only real question then is, given that those facts were all admitted, did that entitle the United States to summary judgment? It did. The United States asserted the exception in the Federal Tort Claims Act at 2680C, the detention of goods exception, the exception that says that although the sovereign is going to expose itself to liability for many, many torts, it's not going to do it when a law enforcement officer detains property. So when you look at the record evidence in the case that was submitted and uncontroverted, it's undisputed that Jocelyn Ellis, the woman who seized the goods, was a law enforcement officer. She works at the FDA's Office of Criminal Investigations. She was there conducting a criminal investigation, and while there, was able to obtain a consensual search and seizure of the property where the plaintiff's goods was taken. She then subsequently, as indicated by the record, continued to investigate whether or not a criminal violation of Title 18 or the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act had occurred. So that question, I believe, is completely settled. Second, did Special Agent Ellis detain the plaintiff's property? And the simple hard fact of this is that the FDA doesn't define detain. I think what the plaintiff is confusing is a statutory remedy and the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act pertaining to a seizure action. But regardless, the Parrott case that this court decided a while ago in 2008 held. There was a holding on what detention was. And that holding was confiscation, followed by sending, in that case, the property to a known recipient, is detention for the purposes of the exception set forth in 2680C. Parrott also went on to cite a number of other cases that implied strongly, because they didn't talk about any difference between seizure and detention, that seizure in itself was enough. And, of course, that makes sense. That just makes common sense. You first seize the property, and as you're holding it, you're detaining it. So the FDA doesn't have a special definition for detention that the court should look to decide whether or not the plaintiff's property was detained. It simply needs to look at the undisputed facts in the case. The FDA seized the property and then held on to it, and in not giving it back, detained it. So in sum, Your Honors, we believe that this case is an open and shut matter, primarily because there are no facts in dispute, and those facts submitted to the court show that we were entitled to summary judgment.
Your argument, your brief doesn't mention his Tucker Act assertion. Did you argue that below?
We didn't, Your Honor, and we should have said a few words about it. The only thing that I can say about that is the thinking at the time was it really didn't ask this court or the district court. There really was no argument for it. Didn't ask the court to do anything. And, of course, the court, either the district court or this court, gives advisory opinions about whether the plaintiff has a Tucker Act claim.
The property here was detained for a relatively lengthy period. Is there any point where the government abandons property which it initially detained?
I'm so sorry, I didn't hear the last part of your...
Is there any point when the government abandons property for which it initially detained lawfully?
It did not abandon it, Your Honor. And the proof is in the pudding here. When the special agent...
And I'm saying there are no limits on how long the government can detain before
no, Your Honor.
It's even considered abandoned.
No.
Okay.
Unless the court has further questions, we would ask that it affirm the decision of the district court granting summary judgment to the United States.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Lorenzen. Anything further, Mr. Paris?
Briefly, I have pointed out the very specific places where the FDA itself has defined detention and seizure. So to say that it's undisputed what those words mean, I think is... disingenuous. I understand that if detention means what the district court assumes that it means, that I lose. However, if you look to the people involved by the FDA, they don't use the word. In fact, they don't even say that the FDA was involved. They pass it off on the state and local authorities. Now, we know that the blood, I think we know that the blood in the serum and saliva was at the state of Illinois during this period of, quote, detention, unquote. That's not a federal actor. If my client had known that, he could have gone there to pick it up, take it, continuous testing, and perhaps accomplish the goal which he had set out to do in terms of this testing, perfecting this test, which he had been selling outside of the country. So I would ask you to put the FDA to the test, to their test, and to their people's words, as opposed to some common citizen or some other understanding, because I don't think there's any injustice in asking the FDA to live up to their words. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, counsel. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will be in recess until tomorrow.